Good morning. If you're glad to be here, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not glad to be here, just don't tell us, okay? But we hope everybody is glad to be here, whether you're joining us here in this auditorium or whether you are joining with us online. We are excited about who we are in Jesus, and we are excited about the future. Are you hopeful? Are you optimistic? Do you feel that better days are ahead? In Jesus, we're called to be that way and live that way and feel that way about our lives, about this church, about the future, in terms of what God can do using us to reach people for Jesus. And we want to look to the future with a lot of optimism and a lot of hope. I want to introduce you in that regard to a lady named Annie Diller. Just a couple of years ago, she earned her fourth college degree at the age of 92 at a community college in South Carolina. And I was especially impressed with what was said in this article about her. She owned her own hair salon, but the article says, but a few years ago, she yearned for something more. Think about that. She yearned for something more, something better, something different. The president of the college says she would always be on campus smiling, always wanting to talk to people. And then he went on to say, youngsters say that they have great inspiration and say they're going to tell mom and get their mom to start school. And then the article closes out by saying this. Dillard says she's starting school to earn another degree. Degree number 5 in early childhood education. I love that attitude, don't you? Now, some people physically can't do what this wonderful woman did at the age of 92, but I think there is something in that attitude about looking ahead and wanting to do something different and to do something better and to yearn for something beyond where we are now. And that's a lot of, as Rob already mentioned this morning, a lot of what 2.0 is all about. It's about understanding the definition of 2.0, which is looking at something or someone that is improved, that is better, a new version of something. And so we've been talking about what is the new version of us as a church, as we move forward, especially a church as we move forward and emerge out of what one of our members in my conversation with him described as a sense of inertia. I don't know if you have felt or experienced that personally in your life over the last year. Maybe that you were kind of stuck and felt helpless. But I want us to understand as we move forward in the year 2021, as we look back and learn from what we've learned, that there are still these core values and core principles that are an inherent part of who we are. So we are revisiting and recommitting ourselves to our motto, our mission, and that is to love God, to grow deeper, and to share Jesus. And we've been looking at the first couple of chapters of the book of Acts to see where that 2.0 experience for the early disciples is not only something they experienced, but that is a legacy that you and I share in. And it was all about Jesus. It was all about being his witnesses. Jesus says to them before he ascends, he says, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And then once they go to Jerusalem and they wait and the promised Holy Spirit comes, that's what they're doing. They are being witnesses for Jesus. The whole sermon that you read in Acts chapter 2 is a focus on Jesus. To bring faith in Jesus, to bring new life in Jesus. And so Peter, as he is speaking to this group, uses this term, we're all witnesses of this fact. And so that fact, if you read the whole sermon, is about Jesus. It's about who He is. It's about what He's done. It's about how He lived. It's about His miracles. It's about His death and what that death means. It's not just any death. It's a death for us. It's a death for you. It's God coming to this earth in the form of a man, becoming like us in all ways, yet without sin, and going to a cross and dying for you and me as our substitute so that we could live with hope. I mean, live with hope right now, in the future, in eternity. That's what the message of Jesus means. That's what it brings. And so we are called to be reminded that our call is to share Jesus. That's a part of our core identity. That should be something that is at the forefront of every one of our minds as we think about who we are individually and who we are as a church. And we are hoping that as you have conversations with people and the subject of your involvement with the body of Christ comes up and the subject of Northeast comes up, you're able to articulate to others, hey, this is what we're about and this is what I'm about. As a church, we want to love God more because that's the greatest commandment. As a church, as an individual, I want to grow deeper in Jesus. I want to grow deeper in my relationships with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want to be about what is our call and our purpose. And it's wrapped up in God's promises. This is so wonderful. As I look at just a couple of the words in the text this morning, the word confidently comes up, the word promise comes up, the word fact comes up, and this statement about the resurrection of Jesus making all the difference in the world. But we share in that same faith. We share in that same promise. As I mentioned in the initial sermon in this short series, there are certain things that can't be improved upon. There is not a new and improved gospel, right? The gospel doesn't change. The good news doesn't change. Jesus doesn't change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what He did to save us was the same then, and it's the same now. The call to respond to that gospel, it's the same now as it was then. And we're called to be witnesses. Now, I'm not an eyewitness. I wasn't there personally. But we know that we can live with the same faith and have the living Jesus living in us through His Spirit. And that Spirit is, He is just as real and alive in us today as He was in those early disciples. We share in that same faith and we share in that same legacy. And we know there are some things that don't, just like the new Coke and the old Coke. Remember that illustration? You don't improve upon something that's a classic. Humanity has not changed over time. I mean, times have changed, right? Times are different. I mean, that's a duh statement, isn't it? Think about how different things are today from the way they were in the first century in that culture. And think about how things were different when those original promises were made to Abraham 1,800 years before that. So we have now 4,000 years, Cedric was talking about this in Bible class today, between us and when those promises were first made to Abraham. But our need has not changed. The human dilemma has not changed. The darkness and the sin and the brokenness that was a part of the world in the first century, it's the same today, right? We have the same needs, and we're dealing with the same problem. We're dealing with the problem of sin. But times and cultures do change. And also, how we convey that message as witnesses of Jesus, as people who want our friends and neighbors, our community, our world to know who Jesus is. The truths don't change, but how those truths are shared changes. It just goes with the territory. Think about how Jewish the church was the first 10 years the church existed. It was very, very Jewish. Their experience, even after they became Christians, was still wrapped up in their community, their lifestyle, their heritage as people who were Jews, sons and daughters of Abraham. And you look in the early chapters of the book of Acts before the gospel is going out to Gentiles, and a lot of what happens, happens in the context of the temple and the temple courts and in the synagogue. I mean, Paul did a lot of his missionary things, reaching out to others in the context of his fact of being a Jewish Christian and reaching out to Jews. And then, finally, about year 10, the door is open to Gentiles to receive Christ and hear the gospel. And then you talk about a seismic shift in how things are going. The gospel's then going out to cities, and people are carrying that message to areas throughout the known world of that day. So very different. And yet, even during that time, things are changing in terms of how they're going about sharing that message. And now, come to today. I know I've skipped a lot of time from the first 10 or 15 years of the church to today. But for time interest, I'm not going to cover all the history between now and then, okay? But things are different today, aren't they? Think of the changes in terms of communication that we have today that we didn't have 50 years ago, or certainly not back in the first century. It's amazing that we can communicate right now instantaneously through what is known as the World Wide Web with those people who are connected to that, and that's a vast majority of the people in the world today. It's astounding. I got a text this week from a former member here at Northeast. I want to share with you a little of what he said. He said, I joined the live stream on Sunday and really enjoyed everything that he saw and heard. And he was happy that he got to see Sean and Lisa Wasilewski on the live stream. I hope you guys keep up the live stream after COVID. It's a powerful tool. Let me give you just a little history of this young man. Now he's in his 40s now, but he went through some struggles and tough times, drifted away from the Lord during a certain period of time in his life. And now he's come back to active faith in the Lord. And he said this, food for thought on the live stream, another remote outreach. I'm a huge fan of these mediums because it was a sermon and podcast series from a guy out of Cleveland named Alistair Begg that really, quote, brought me back. And I heard it first by accident on satellite radio in 2013 while sitting in traffic on my way to a meeting in New York. The point is, with live stream and other media, you never know just who is reached and where they are, but I guarantee you, you'd be surprised who is listening and who was saved or brought back to the way that you never would have met without that remote outreach. As long as you guys have the live stream, I will share it with others as much as possible. Keep up the good work. That was very, very encouraging. Very encouraging. And that leads me to make a point about us being a witness, sharing Jesus. I promised you last week I'd share something new with you. Well, we're announcing this morning that we have a new 2.0 website. And our website has changed. Not the truth that is conveyed there, but it's more visually appealing. It's easier to navigate. There have been a great team of people working on this website for many, 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 many months, putting in hundreds and hundreds of hours. People on staff appreciate what Nancy Jean has done related to that, but especially want to say thank you to those who are volunteers, who were, you know, not a part of paid staff, who put so many hours into this. Rich and Dina Clyde, can't thank them enough for what they have done. And so why is a website important? Why does a website matter? What does a website have to do with sharing Jesus? Well, I think you know the answer to that. You know it just as well as I do. You know that for anybody who will come here to this place, I mean, if they're not invited by somebody they know or a friend, 95% of those people are going to first look at our website before they decide to come here. And that's a fact. Studies bear that out. How many of you have been recent guests here? Raise your hand. I know there are some of you here. Go ahead and raise your hand. You don't have to. Yes. So have you looked at it? Did you go to our website? Just not. Of course you did. The website is the new front door in our age. It really is. And it's important that when people come to that front door before they come through this front door, that they get a good picture of who we are and what we're trying to do and how they can be blessed in their life as they move forward. And so there's a new emphasis on our website in terms of trying to meet the seeker, the guest, potential guest, where they are in a way that's going to draw them to Northeast. And so the first thing you see when you go to our website now, let's look at that next slide. The first thing that you see, the pictures of the website I had in there. You don't have them? Okay, this is something else they didn't deal with back in the first century, a breakdown in technology. I thought I sent 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 slides to that. Wow. And this is where I was. This was the crescendo of this sermon. But I'm gonna adjust on the fly. Take my word for it. All right. I encourage you to go there yourself, and to see. The website has not changed in terms of the web address. So there you go. That's the first. Thank you. That's the first thing you see when you go to the website. It says visit with us. And if you're live there, some other things that find your way at Northeast or come serve with us, serve with Northeast. And then if you scroll down and you find other places, you're going to see this is who we are. We are a church that wants to love God more and grow deeper and share Jesus. And after you scroll and make a click, you're going to get to see this is what we believe. This is how we view Jesus. And then there's a great connection there. If you guys are live, click on the next step. And there's a page that says, we want you to take your next steps with us. There you go. No. But anyway, it's there, I promise. Where we can be encouraged, not only as a church individually, but that we can encourage others out there in the community to join us as we serve. And that's the whole point of a lot of this in the website and everything else. Listen, web technology, as we have found out just now, is not the total answer because it doesn't always work right. But it can be a great tool, and it's a reminder to us, it's a reminder to you, it's a reminder to me that the greatest impact is not going to ultimately be through a website. The greatest impact is not going to come through technology, as good and useful as that tool is. The greatest step in reaching out and sharing Jesus with others is you. It's what you do. It's what we do as a church locally when we serve in our community. And we, as time goes on, we're going to have more opportunities to do that. It's what you do in your neighborhood. We had a neighbor this week surprise us, she and her daughter. She's a single mom. We heard our driveway being scraped outside, and they are shoveling our driveway. They're just serving and doing a good deed. That's how we're going to make a difference in the lives of others. So a couple of things I'm asking you to do. Share our new website with somebody this week. a friend, a neighbor, someone who may be seeking or searching, send out an email with a link to our website and just say, hey, we got a new website. I'm excited about it. Check it out. And I think they will see and understand a little bit more of what we're about. And I encourage you, as God brings us guests here, and that will happen more and more as time goes on, as Nick mentioned last week, want to understand that what we do and how we treat those guests who come here makes a huge difference. And so once again, we have new signs here, and I believe they'll be helpful, but the greatest help is going to come in how you and I interact with others. And last but not least, just to wrap this whole thing up this morning in terms of taking next steps, the most important next step that you can take in your relationship with Jesus is what? Okay, we talk about next steps as a church, and we want to move forward. We want to be new and improved in our lives and what we do here. What about right now personally in your own life, in your relationship with God? What's that next step? For two of our young people here at Northeast, that next step today is that decision to commit their life to Jesus and be baptized into Him. And we rejoice with Elizabeth and Luke Albanese this morning. They're going to be baptized here in just a minute. Want to encourage those people who are online, visit us at northeastchurch.com. If you want to find out more about who we are and what we're doing, call us at the office. We want to be here for you. If anybody's ready to take that step of baptism, we want to help you anytime with that step. But there are many other ways we want to help you. If you're not there yet and you just want to be encouraged, want us to pray for you, we're here to pray for you and with you. But just let us know. We're so glad that you've joined us today here in this auditorium, and we are grateful for you joining us online. And just want to thank you for taking the time to be with us. And we're going to sing a song right now. And after that song, we're going to rejoice with Elizabeth and Luke as they're baptized into Christ. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. Amen.